A member of the class downstairs asked a good question. Interracial marriage, is it right or wrong? And I think you have a right to know the answer that I gave to that question, so I'll tell you now. And you'll be welcome to discuss that after I've told you what I said to them. The first thing to remember about this issue of race is that racial distinctions, as we discussed them, seem to be somewhat arbitrary. They're based on physical characteristics, which actually exist on a continuum. We talk about black and white, but nobody except an albino is actually white, and very few people, except some Nigerians that we might meet, are actually black. Usually it's just variations of color. And so when we see this existing on a continuum with all sorts of variations, especially in this country because of miscegenation, etc., we recognize that it's an arbitrary distinction. Now, the Israelites in the Old Testament were to marry only other Israelites. But this is an argument more for marrying in the church than it is an argument against interracial marriage. Since our citizenship is in heaven now, we would marry another Christian regardless of physical race. My conclusion from the scriptures, since I don't find the scriptures actually even acknowledging the concept of race as we discuss it, but rather speaking of the human family as the human race, I believe, and I'm speaking Christianly here because I like the idea of Christians marrying other Christians, but within that context, I believe that anybody who has a right to marry has a right to marry anybody who has a right to marry. I'll say it again, in case we were lost at the second right. It's not difficult. Anybody who has a right to marry has a right to marry anybody who has a right to marry. Now, usually when we ask the question about interracial marriage in our country, in our time, we're talking about the black and white issue. If one of our boys marries a girl who is Asian, that's just as interracial can be, but that doesn't tend to bother some of us so much. Or when one of our girls perhaps marries an American Indian or Native American, that would be considered, I guess, interracial. But it doesn't seem to bother people so much until we're talking about black and white. And that is not unique to our country, but all countries are not the same way. They simply, in France, for instance, do not have the same sort of color bar here, and that's true in many other countries. They never enslaved these people, and they're not dealing now with the ramifications of slavery. There's never been a nation that I know of in the history of the world who ever enslaved a group of people whose offspring did not someday live in mortal terror of the offspring of those slaves. It happened with the Israelites in Egypt. It's happened to many nations since that time, and it's happened in our country. Now, you and I were not responsible for slavery. We had nothing to do with it, and we're sorry about the racial rift that exists in our country at this time, but we can't deny that it does exist. I thought things were getting better for a long time. But when the O.J. Simpson verdict in the criminal trial came down, all of us who weren't aware of the tensions that exist became acutely aware all over again of just how deeply these feelings run and just how differently people from differing backgrounds can see things. And to me, it upset the way that I thought about how to behave with regard to other people sometimes. Before that, I treated everybody alike, or I think I did. I treated everybody absolutely the same, black or white. Now I felt like I couldn't quite do that, and I didn't realize it until it was brought home to me, just days after the Simpson verdict in the criminal trial, when there was so much discussion about racial animosities and racial tensions. So many people speaking out about it. I was on an airplane coming back from Las Vegas. I'd just gotten on the plane. It hadn't taken off yet, and I had something I almost never get, a very severe case of the flu. Or some vomiting disease. I was vomiting every few minutes. So I sat there on this plane. There were two empty seats beside me, and the people were coming in. I thought, well, if somebody attempts to sit beside me, I'll tell them that I've got the flu, and they better find someplace else to sit. Well, you know what happened. Here came a black couple and sat right down beside me. And I thought, well, if I tell them what I was going to tell them, then they're going to think I'm just saying it because they're black and I don't want them sitting beside me. And I didn't know what to do. Forgive me if I did wrong. I just let him sit there and get it because I just I didn't know it. But I did not treat them the way I would have treated somebody that was white. And I didn't like that about my decision. But I didn't know what else to do. I didn't want to offend them, and because I felt sure that they would have thought I was just making up an excuse not to have them sit by me. Now, if a basically non-prejudiced person like I am can have that kind of a problem with this issue just because of the racial climate in the country, I think this says something to us about interracial marriage between blacks and whites. It shows us the dilemma that a mixed couple is going to be in. While a couple may have a right to marry, they're certainly giving themselves an extra mountain to climb if they plan to live in the United States. And not only an extra mountain for them, but in particular for any children that they might bring into the world who will be regarded in many circles as half-breeds, mulattoes, and may be rejected by both groups. The two people themselves, the black and the white, might have a wonderful relationship themselves. They might go off together married and enjoy each other sexually and intellectually and in every other way as well. But they live in a society. And it's true, as we've said in a more general terms before, the more things we have in common when we're married, the better off we're going to be. Just the difference of male and female is enough difference, and we need to have a lot of commonality otherwise. There are ramifications for this, for us in the church with regard to this question, and that's why I'm speaking on it at some length. I don't know that there is an easy solution to this. Some of you know Joanne Chafee. She's pretty outspoken, a black lady who I think may be here tomorrow and I hope will be staying through next week from the church up near Chicago. She's got a little girl, and she wants her little girl to marry in the church the same as we want our children to marry in the church. So she asked me about that once several years ago. What about that idea? And it's a difficult thing in the minds of many people. What I told her was for myself, that all other things being equal, I'd rather have my son marry a black girl who's a Christian than a white girl who's not. I'm glad to hear some amens on that. This has been a sticky issue for us in the past, but I believe we're probably going to face this more and more. Now over to a place like 25th and Oakley, where the Nichols come from. Their vacation Bible study every year is pretty much an outreach program to the community, and they're in a basically black community. And so during that vacation Bible study week, they've got lots of little black boys and girls coming in there, and they're learning the Bible, some of them learning it rather well. Some of these people likely will be converted in the future, and they're going to grow up alongside with your boys and girls. What are we going to say on the issue of interracial marriage? Well, to me, what we say is that they have a right to do this, but they are setting for themselves a more difficult pathway in some ways than if they were to marry someone who looked physically like them, just because of the way people around them are. And we can't change the way people around us are. I believe the church can be a haven for people like this who do find themselves married to someone of a different race, because in the church we can show the kind of acceptance and warmth that they might not receive in many other places. But they do need to recognize, and especially if these are young people we're speaking of, and I've faced this situation a number of times where a black boy and a white girl or a black girl and a white boy will come to you and say, what about interracial marriage? We're interested in getting married. And I have to tell them that you are going to face special problems if you do this that you wouldn't face if you were both black or both white. And so often I get their eyes get big, and I get this nodded response, yes, we understand. It reminds me of James and John. Jesus said, can you suffer with the baptism that I must be baptized with? And they said, yes, Lord, we're able. But they didn't know what they were talking about. I think they need to consider this very carefully before they do it. And so that's a somewhat of a nebulous answer. Yes, you have a biblical, a scriptural right to, but there may be difficulties associated with it. That's about the best I know what to do with the issue, and that's what I said downstairs. Question, comments, agree, disagree? Marvin. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Well, let's give the mic to Marvin here, and then we'll get somebody over here.
I agree. I had a grown couple, a black and a white, ask me to counsel with them regarding getting married, and I said the very same thing that you have said. There's nothing that I find in the scriptures that forbids it, but you must recognize the problems that you're going to have before you do it instead of after you do it.
Right. Absolutely. Who was it? Alna.
I was just going to say, I agree with you. I can be good to all of them. I treat them all alike. But I think in the past, maybe it's not so noticeable nowadays, the children are the ones that paid.
Right. And that's a thing we need to emphasize with these people. So often parents or unmarried people who will be future parents can't quite think in terms of their children and the life that these children will be living all those years. And it's, you can put an extra burden on somebody just by making this decision. Bob's got one.
Does the case of Miriam and Moses with his the hassle over his Ethiopian wife bear on this?
I think it shows the way people tend to view this kind of thing.
When the Lord punished her for her our actions in it.
Right.
I agree with what you said, and I wish that we didn't have the situation where those things cause the problem. But
exactly.
if we stick with the stereotypes, we can kind of say, well, why did the Lord make the races? But when you point out, as you have, that it is really a color continuum.
Right.
Why?
I'm not sure he did make them.
Right. Right.
I appreciate the points you're making. Yes, we wish so badly that we didn't have these tensions in our country, that there's a temptation to just pretend that these things don't exist. And I think I've been guilty of that. There's also a temptation to maybe take Joanne or somebody who's the only one among us and make her our token black and treat her differently in that way. There's just all kinds of little nuances of these relationships as we struggle our way out of this horrible problem that never should have been created in the first place. I think Jay's next.
It is a horrible problem, but it's one we have. And this is one of the ways the church can be a light. When we have mixed couples come among us, let's receive them as brethren and not let our flesh and even the prejudices that maybe used to be a part of our life resurface.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. Tom, I think you were next.
I agree with what you're saying, too. I think we do need to be aware that there is a pressure in society to unite and to homogenize everyone and to, you know, which is true, say that since there's no differences between us biologically, then let's all act as one. But I think that there are these differences among us to keep us from all uniting, because if we all do unite, I think there's we are easier to control if we are all the same. I think there is some basis to it, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And right along with counseling about the problems that could come along is the idea that the two families, not always, but a lot of times the two families will be as though they're from two different cultures.
Right.
And are they prepared to deal with two different ways of living in the with the in-laws and so on?
Absolutely. You are marrying the family in a very real sense. And this is can be equally true if you're a Caucasian from here and you marry somebody who's from Japan. There's a price to be paid for that. Not that you shouldn't do it, but you need to be aware. And I agree. The differences are there, and they're going to stay. I told Joanna, if we do intermarry, maybe one day we'll all be a sort of a creamy brown and we won't have to face this anymore. But until then, we'll have to. Brad?
I was going to say that I wished Christian parents had the feelings toward their kids marrying non-Christians that they used to have about marrying outside the race.
Right.
If we had that type of, not exactly fear or prejudice, but if they had those kind of feelings, but usually it's the other way, they would worry more about having a interracial marriage.
One brother in a church down in Kentucky told me, I'd rather see my daughter in her coffin than to see her married to a black man. I don't care what kind of Christian he is, he said. There's a lot of it still out there. Jeannie, were you going to say something?
I kind of had.
Okay. You sure? Okay. You don't have to ask twice. Yeah, Jeannie, to say something.
I'm not very good at speaking up in public.
Oh, no.
As many of you know, my sister is married to a black man, and I'm not very good at this. I concur with what Jay said about being a light. Our family, yes. Sorry.
You're doing fine.
Our family has accepted him. And when we moved back here, he made a point.
You're doing fine. It's an emotional issue.
It is. He made a point of coming to both Ron and I and saying how much he loved us and how much he appreciated us welcoming him into the family. And He said he felt closer to us than he had to his own family, and he comes from a very bad background. They live in Philadelphia, and their family is pretty much all drug alcoholics. And he said he's never had people treating like our family has. So I concur with Jay. Accept him like a brother.
Thank you very much, Jean. Brad?
I was going to say, from teaching school, I don't think the kids have the problems we think they used to. Because they're accepted pretty well. They have to be fairly old before the kids even notice a difference. And I think the parents, the married couple, has more trouble in society than the kids ever do, because most of the kids are pretty well accepted today in the schools. But
that's good
but
to hear.
Some of the older people, when they see the married couple, you know, they really still have a problem with it. But I think that problem with the kids isn't what it used to be.
Okay, good. Jim?
I hope we don't still have these little roots of bitterness in the church like we once had. I know I performed a wedding between a black and a white. They were both members of the church. One of the elders of the church told me that I would burn in hell for that.
I don't know where that comes from, but I wish you would go back there.
You know it comes from the Bible.
No,
that's all you need to know.
It doesn't come from the Bible. That's right. It must come from the pit of hell. Anybody else? B.
When you come up next year to the task of one of our elders is Chinese, and our deacon happens to be from India, American citizen now. So we're, and we have Joanne's family. We're very proud to have one of her nieces, one of her nephews. And just recently, her oldest daughter was baptized by her father, and we were very pleased to see that. She needs a lot of prayers because she doesn't have the age group to really encourage her, and it was a tough decision for her to make to really decide to come into this church, and poor girl was trembling, so when she came forward, I thought she would faint before she really got through the confession, let alone going up to the baptistry. So we are ethnically diverse up there.
Yes, you are, and through the years, you have been an example that Jesus has broken down the middle wall of partition which was between us, so making peace. Thank you. Mike.
For me, I think rather than the O.J. Simpson, it was the Rodney King and the riots that immediately followed.
Right place for that.
Yeah. And I live in the city where the National Guard assembles to deal with such issues. Shortly after that, one of the students at the school where I teach, a lot has been said about, you know, how difficult it can be for the children of these types of marriages. One of the students where I teach started a bulletin board, electronic bulletin board, for discussing issues of race. And he happens to have parents, one black and one white, and so he seemed to be very appropriately set up for this type of thing, and got lots of people to participate on talking through via electronic messages these issues. This year he was awarded in Washington, D.C. An award for encouraging peace amongst the races, and we're very proud of that young man, and it was because of his mixed ethnicity that he was exactly the right person to do that job.
Thank you, Mike. Very good. Anybody else want to comment on this issue? Jay.
I think in this problem we have a perfect example of men perceiving a problem and trying in their own wisdom to rectify it, and that has made it much worse instead of just submitting to the Lord.
There's so much truth in that. We know our own history as a nation. We had to, the white people had to make the black people seem as different from them as possible in order to justify slavery, which was deemed to be economically necessary, and it was a horrible ball of wax, and we're just not past that yet. And I'm not convinced we ever will get past it. I used to think we would, but I don't think it'll be solved, as you suggest, until everybody's led to the foot of the cross of Christ. Once we get there, then this other problem seems rather small, ordinarily. But until we're there, it just doesn't go away. You think it's gone. But it keeps coming back, like the story they told about the people that were going along on the bus, and that some of them were black and some of them were white, and the blacks were told to sit in the back of the bus, and the whites were going to sit in the front, and they were arguing and fighting about this, so the driver got everybody off the bus, stopped the bus beside the road and got everybody off and said, "Now I want to quit hearing about all this. Just forget about your color. Just pretend you're all green. Now you dark green ones get in the back of the bus and you light green ones. You think it's settled, but it's not settled in a lot of people's minds. Anybody else? It really is. Hate is the word. That's true. Cliff?
I wonder if anybody, white or black, really considers this problem. Supposing a mixed race couple, whichever way isn't the point, is deeply in love. And I'm not talking about infatuation. We've had our lesson on that here, and it was a very good one. I'm talking about real love. And you present these extra problems they're going to run into. Now, what has to go through their mind? Could we really expect them to say, well, there are going to be a lot of problems, but we're still going to marry? Or would we expect them to say that, well, with all the problems, we'll just go our separate ways? I've tried to think of from the feeling standpoint in that, and I wonder sometimes if we or they really can are capable of measuring what the heartfelt problems can be.
It's a judgment call.
I've always believed that a man should not go with a girl he would not consider as his wife even the first time, or not go with him if he couldn't say within his mind, I would be willing to have this person my father, the father of my kids, or the mother of my kids, whichever the case is. Mm-hmm. Because definitely the kids are the ones going to pay the price. I've seen that both in the service and civil life. There is the price, and it can be serious.
And just how true that still remains, I'm not sure. My idea is that it's still there. Now, Brad's indicating he's not seeing it as much as it used to be, so I hope that's true. It is a decision that they themselves alone together will have to make. But all of them need to realize, black or white, and marrying of the same two whites marrying or two blacks marrying, they still need to realize that love is not enough, that you need to have a solid basis in other ways as well. That's one of the points we're trying to convey. This is just one little piece of that discussion. Jeannie.
I agree that I don't think it's improving at all. In the schools, we have parents who complain very vocally that their children are being discriminated against. Mm-hmm. And one time it was very, very funny because when they came in to have a conference with the teacher was black. Mm-hmm. But we hear this all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. John.
Just regarding your comments that you said, you thought perhaps this problem may never go away. Mm-hmm. In the society as a whole. I take from Daniel 2 in the 43rd verse where he's talking about how Rome would be weak and that it mingled with the seed of men. The iron doesn't adhere to the ceramic. And though the ideal, if we all were led to the bottom of the cross, like you said, we would all, there would be peace. But that's not going to happen. And I think that's proof of it. Just like Rome tried to bring all these people in, make them all citizens, and make everyone forget about their differences, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And it's something we should strive for, the opposite, but realize at the same time the reality that that's just how man is.
Right.
God made him that way. And
that's right. The church is a different breed altogether. We are one family. We are one nation. But we're an infinitesimally small part of the society we live in. Bull, go ahead.
I appreciate your point about like only the way you felt the problems were going to be solved was through like the Lord Jesus Christ or through the church. I'm not sure of your exact wording. Well, why won't it be solved? It's because we won't let it be solved. Right. As a human being, that's just a tendency through Satan. Right. If there were no blacks or no Hispanics, no whatever, we would still be, you know, it'd be nationality, it'd be Irish or something. That's just the nature of the being.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Anybody? Oh. Is that your hand, Ann? I can see a hand there. Okay, gotcha.
Well, since we have two adopted grandchildren from Korea, I'm a little bit familiar with a different nationality and so forth, and I know as to how they have been accepted or rejected and things like that, but it seems to me like that the any problems that they have had was more almost like we as Christians are sort of rejecting the inward of a person more than the outward, because they, of course, they came over here as babes. Mm-hmm. And speak very good English and that type of thing, so they aren't into that problem. And they don't even, they're not even attracted to their own race. Hmm. They are feeling just like they were Caucasian. Uh-huh. And all the way through, they don't even, they never have even wanted to date a Korean. Mm-hmm. And there's no preference as far as they are concerned. And I think sometimes these things are more of a background type thing than actually the color of the skin. If we as Christians accept one another from the inward man rather than the outward man, why would the color of your skin or the color of your hair or the color of your eyes make a bit of difference?
Exactly right. And when we consider the continuum aspect of this, there are Caucasians who have darker skin than some of the lightest black people have. So
and
it's all amalgamated, really, anyway.
There was one incident that happened when Sandra's oldest one was in school. He was always slightly darker, slightly browner than the little girl. She's lighter skinned anyway. And there was a little boy at school that had had him home with him. And I guess didn't think anything about it. And when he came home in the family, why the mother said, "Oh, I didn't know you had a black friend." He says, "He's not black. He's just like me. He's just got a good suntan." So that's the way the kids looked at it.
I think there's something to what Brad was saying among the younger ones now. We didn't have near the discussion on this subject in the basement that we've had here, and it may be because you and I have been around a longer time and we've come through some things that the kids in the basement just haven't. Anybody else want to express themselves on that? Okay, Marvin?
I'm not so pessimistic about it. I believe as we get to know black people and how they think, and they get to know how we think, that that wall will fade away, because it's largely misunderstanding. The black people I've worked with, I never consider them black. Mm-hmm. Once I've got to know them, and they don't consider me white. And I just feel that in America, which is the melting pot of all kinds of people, who could have told that an Irish Catholic could get along with a Protestant in America? But they do.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. Bev?
It's probably been a year ago as time flies, but I think a lot of our feelings is fear. We kind of fear the unknown. Mm-hmm. And in America, it's just kind of been whites here and blacks here. And it's been about a year ago, a man who came back to the area, was here to learn about how to drive a truck. His name was Al. He was from Omaha, and he was very tall, and very big, and very black. And he was black. And he came, Lowell went and got him, came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He came probably for like a month, and then he left, and then he even came back. You know, that helped all of us.
Good.
He was showing us his family pictures. Mm-hmm. We were showing him ours. But see, a fear had gotten down, and I think that's what it's going to take. Mm-hmm. It's going to take that to make you realize that his blood is as red as mine. And I think that's it, because like Larry, the only association a lot of us get are through the media. And what do you see through the media? When it comes to a black person, it's usually a young black man that has either been shot or has shot someone. And that's not fair to them. But that's what you see, that, and that helps that fear. It helps the fear, because that's hard to get over.
Thank you very much, Biff. Jay, were you going to... Oh, it's Fern. I'm sorry. I knew it went over here somewhere. And then Richard.
I think most of you know that we live in the country. This has probably been 8 or 10 years ago that we had a black man and a white woman move into our area. And, of course, the speculation was that that place would look like Peter Tumbledown before long. Well, it developed into that, but not as long as a white woman was there. But her problem was she couldn't accept the fact that the public didn't accept her children. Mm-hmm. And they were just light brown. They passed for Hispanics. Mm-hmm. I'll save this for the talent show, but I've got a funny story regarding that guy who tried to raise feeder pigs. And that's all I'll tell you now, but I will make this statement in general. Generally, this is several steps on the totem pole, so to speak, if a black guy can get a white woman for
there,
a wife.
There is truth.
No, I hope that, that would not be true in Christian.
Absolutely.
With Christian.
Richard, I think. Richard Owens, I'm sorry.
Back in the late 60s, I was assigned to travel for 5 hours in the company of another black employee. I have never dreaded a trip more in my life. There were just the two of us in a car. There was no escape. Mm-hmm. And I frankly was dreading it tremendously. And I think, I don't know which of us learned the most on that trip. I feel very much... By the time we were in Toledo, I found out that his values and mine were not terribly far apart on almost every issue that we had discussed. Mm-hmm. Never once did we discuss a black-white situation. That wasn't it at all. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I have a special place for that man. As a matter of fact, I had just now checked, and his name was first on the list that John had us make the first day. His name is number one that I... really think I ought to do something about. I think if we were in a position like that where we didn't have a choice and we had were faced with either being totally a part or becoming a part of it, I think you would find out that it isn't so disastrous as sometimes, and I'm hearing some of that here too. As I say, I wasn't looking forward to that trip, and I'm not sure he was. I don't know. I've never asked him about that.
Probably not.
But I was not looking forward to that at all. In fact, we made a weekend trip together, and I came back with him, so it was actually 5, 10, 15, 20 hours of it for sure. And as a matter of fact, we chummed up when we got there. And I don't
good.
Know. It was a very enlightening thing to me, because I found out that people are people. And okay. I guess he did more to help me help bring me around to this fact that under God's sight, we are all his children.
Maybe we all supposed to be just folks.
I was trying to be quiet, but I can't.
Go.
I've had the joy of working for a large corporation, and as such, I work with lots of different people, and I have met some of the finest people of every nationality you could ever dream of. And so I know that we are equal when you look at all these things. But even as I say that, there are things in our society which cause this to continue. I've been trying to hire 20 people since March, and I have to get the right number of blacks and the right number of women to make sure that I pass the Hughley Law in Michigan.
Yep.
And so even when we try to get away from it, we can't.
Absolutely.
But I will say there's an advertisement on the radio in Detroit which intrigues me. It's about a group that's called the Detroit Outreach Church. I have no idea what denomination they're with. But the gentleman who leads it up, when he came to Detroit, he was walking through the streets of Detroit, and he was shot 4 times and left for dead. And he decided that's the community that needed him. And so that's where he started building his congregation, was right there. Hmm. That's the kind of commitment that we have to have if we're going to break these things down.
Appreciate it, David. Thank you. I think Richard Riggins had something.
I know as Christians there is no choice. If a black man and a white woman or a black woman and a white man married become members of the church, we must accept and love them. But the thing that strikes me as unusual, the black person is going to be accepted before the white partner.
Sometimes.
Maybe because we'll make a greater effort. But I'm afraid that it's the white partner that's going to feel more alienated in a local congregation than the black.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. That's a good observation.
Being different.
Good observation.
I'd like to say something.
Okay, Wanda.
If these men are so willing for their son to marry a black girl, why don't they have a black wife? I noticed that the men of the church that pursued me happened to be a couple of white men, you know. Uh-huh. And I felt discriminated against because I thought they were looking for physical attractiveness first, really. Mm-hmm. And why weren't they looking for some black girl who would do what they wanted, and they wouldn't be mad at me because I wouldn't do what they wanted?
Thank you, Wanda. I'm not suggesting interracial marriage. I think it gives our young people an extra problem that I don't like to see them have to face. But if there was enough of it, then perhaps that problem would be alleviated. So there's a kind of a paradox there that I'm not sure how we solve. David.
One last comment. When I went to GMI, there were about 3,000 guys and 4 girls. And one of them was black, and she was the prettiest girl there and the most popular girl there. So, you know, part of it is what you get used to and who you see and the whole bit. But everybody saw right past her color immediately and discovered she was quite a nice girl. So it was great.
Excellent. Anyone else? I appreciate the airing. Apparently, we needed to do that. I think it's good for us and may be of some value occasionally to discuss it. Were you going to say something, Lowell?
I was thinking something, but
I thought you looked like
say it.
I thought you looked like you were about to say something.
No, it's
something.
Just that I don't think we're all that typical of the church in general in our opinions here. I think
you don't?
Maybe have a better opinion than average Christian.
You think we're preaching to the choir here,
yeah.
Perhaps? Marvin?
The first place I taught in the blackest neighborhood in Des Moines. And I remember distinctly one little boy one day rising up in his seat and saying, "Mr. Engel, you are doing this just because I'm black." Mm-hmm. And so I proceeded to bring a 15-minute lecture that I didn't care if he was black or white. When he misbehaved, he's going to get corrected. Mm-hmm. He apparently had this drilled into him. He was reciting what he'd been taught. But I had the goods because I treated him just like I did everybody else.
Sounds like you made your point. Good. Brad?
So I spent 2 years teaching school in Savannah, Georgia. And the school was 90% black. And the church I went to was 100% white at the time. Went back a few years later and they had a couple of black members. But most of them would use the scriptures that I think we used years ago, referring to the children of Israel, that they couldn't mix the races, and so we can't either. But, mm-hmm. of course, it was to keep the bloodline pure. And when you translate to the church, there's no bloodline as far as we're concerned except to be true Christians to God. It makes no difference what the race is, and
absolutely.
Who would know what the true race was except Christian. But
he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth.
They still use that.
Oh, absolutely.
As far as Israel was concerned, race was not the issue with God. It was those of his people marrying those who weren't his people. It wasn't a racial issue. And the same thing regarding us.
His race was only one aspect of being an Israelite. That's true. It's Tom.
Yeah, I was going to say what Jay is saying, that God's reason for prohibiting that was so that they wouldn't turn to idolatry, mm-hmm. which goes back to the point that if the man and the woman have the same spiritual values, then they have the most important link right there.
Okay. Mark. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that you were going to say something. Anyone else? Well, that was a good discussion. I appreciate it very much, and it seems to be something that we need to talk about once in a while. Now to a nice non-controversial topic. We were discussing the way the girls dress when we stopped. I don't know which is worse. What?
I wore a longer dress.
Well, after I said yesterday that I think the girls surely, some of the girls must be ignorant of what they do to the boys, I was disagreed with. And I've thought about that, and I won't say who it was, but they think that some of the girls do know exactly what they're doing and that's why they do it. And that may well be true. I hate to think that about our girls, but it may well be the case. I guess all we can do in that case is point out the passages about causing our brother to stumble. And certainly we're not saying that the boys don't have a responsibility in controlling their thinking. Of course they do. But I know that some of the girls make it difficult for them. I know from experience that you can be at a meeting like this and be thinking wonderful spiritual thoughts, but all you got to do is get in your car and drive down the road and see the wrong billboard, and your mind wants to go another direction. Then you make the choice whether you let it or not, as Tom has described in Flesh versus Spirit. But why place that in front of the eyes of our teenage boys? That's a fairly serious thing to be doing. In the book of Proverbs, the statement was made that a harlot wears a special kind of garments. You could tell who she was because she wore the attire of a harlot in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. Also in the case of Judah in Genesis 38, he could tell that a woman was a harlot by the way she was dressed. And it's a sad thing when Christian girls would dress in such a way as to appear to be something other than what we hope they are. Anne, go ahead.
Do you think it would make a difference to our young people if there would be a Christian boy make a comment to them and mention as to what an effect it has on their thinking? I think it would, because I can remember, even as a teenager myself, I cared what the opposite sex thought of me. And if I thought they disapproved, I wanted to do something about it.
Maybe
and
a little peer
I'm
pressure
talking
there would
even
help.
In a good sense and in being considered, but I think it could make a difference.
That might be, especially if more than one said something. Peer pressure in their own group means a lot more than anything I say. I'm convinced of that. Cliff.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a pessimist, but that sounds like it's a little dangerous to me.
Explain.
Because if the boy says anything to a girl, like you said a while ago, that is doing it on purpose. That's almost what I would call answer of a agreement on a proposition.
I think Anne may have had more in mind more the idea of a boy saying to a girl, you know, you're really not fair to me. I'm trying to be a Christian and have godly thoughts, and you're presenting your body in front of me such a way you're making it extra difficult for me to do that. Now, I remember in 25 years ago, in 1972, when you had the meeting here, one of the evangelists said that to one of the girls, and she was rather put out about it. But that was different, perhaps, than her peer saying it to her. One of the evangelists, it was Brother Wilford. I'll just credit him with it because I thought it was a gutsy thing to do. He just went up to one of the girls one day and said, I almost said her name. I'm glad I didn't do that. He just said, you're not fair to me. And he was probably 40, 49-year-old man maybe at the time. But he said, "You're not fair to me, and here's why," and told her. He at least had alleviated any responsibility he had in the situation. But she didn't understand it or professed not to understand it.
I'm not saying that Ann was wrong. It depends on the two individuals that happened to be in the same spot at the same time. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me like there is a risk.
There is, and you'd have to be careful about it. John had a thought up here.
I think we make a mistake by always equating proper dress with what with the lust or with the things that it brings about in the opposite sex. There is a pattern. Well, there's an idea here that the body is meant to be clothed. It's not meant to be revealed. God gave us clothing to cover that up. Our nakedness is for our spouse and for our spouse alone. More than once in Old Testament scripture, nakedness is equated with revealing the thigh. And I won't necessarily lay that down as a pattern or a rule necessarily, but there's some truth in that. The body, I just don't know quite how to put this, except that we just, whether or not a woman revealing herself or a man revealing himself brings lustful thoughts to the other is relevant, but not so much as just the fact we ought to clothe our bodies, and for that reason.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jay.
To be fair to the young people, this is a difficult question that they for them to have to address by themselves. That's why we have parents. Mm-hmm. Parents have to take the guts to say that is not decent. Now, I realize there are some clothing that you have to give the child a benefit of the doubt, depending on what it is. But when it comes to stepping over that line, they're not adults. That's why they need parents. But sometimes parents are afraid to be parents. They want to be friends. Mm-hmm. And this is one area that there isn't a lot of room for that.
Thank you. David. Oh, I'm sorry. Who is... Oh, Jeannie first. Sorry.
I hesitate to say this in a way, and yet I'm not sure that it's the young girls is all of the problem. I think the parents have become part of the problem anymore. I think that they are dressing in the same manner, and therefore they are not showing the example that they should.
Okay, good. Thank you. David. Go ahead, Dave.
I just want to make sure we take all of this with the right frame of mind and everything else with regards to remembering who we're talking about in terms of kids. You know, a lot of us grew up in the 70s, and we all remember the micro mini skirts and everything that came as a fad, and then they left, and then they came back, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of things that change with time. I think we all survived that. But I do remember myself very specifically being told that I couldn't do a good job if I was one of those long-haired guys, and I grew my hair long just to make sure I could prove to the adults that I really could still function with long hair. And sometimes kids do things for completely the wrong motive. I was wrong in what I did, but it's still something that I did just because the parents gave me the challenge. And it wasn't so much my parents as it was the people I worked with. And handling kids, you know, with five of my own, I'm learning that we really have to be careful how we approach these issues and make sure they understand the whys behind all that.
That's right. A lot of time has gone by, and sometimes time takes care of the hair issue, doesn't it? 10 minutes.